thank you, Dolores and Eva, and all the organizers who put this together, and to each of you who are living proof that you can refuse to choose between women and children. I want to introduce you to the new face of the feminist movement. Look at this. And all of you who refuse to choose between women and children, follow in the footsteps of great women. More than a century ago, the same women who worked for the rights of slaves to be free and women to vote worked for our right to life. We stand in the shadow of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who organized the first women's convention in Seneca Falls in New York in 1848. She articulated a woman's right to vote and wrote in a letter to Julia Ward Howe, the founder of Mother's Day, "When you consider that women have been treated as property, it is degrading to women that we should treat our own children as property to be disposed of as we see fit." When women hid their maternity, Elizabeth Cady Stanton shocked Victorian America. She shocked her neighbors by raising a flag in front of her home to celebrate the birth of her daughter, Harriet. I think she's the founder of the second movement, the Stork in the Lawn.
Yay!
In a day when women were second-class citizens, Elizabeth Cady Stanton celebrated womanhood. She celebrated the fact that women could give life to their children, and she was in your face about the ability to have children. We walk today in the footsteps of another great woman, Susan B. Anthony, a teacher turned suffragist organizer. Susan B. Anthony was once complimented by a friend who said, "Ms. Anthony, you would have made a wonderful mother." She didn't even make it to the Seneca Falls Convention. She was taking care of other people's children. She was a teacher. Anthony responded, "Sweeter even than to have had the joy of caring for children of my own has it been for me to help bring about a better state of things for mothers generally, so their unborn little ones could not be willed away from them." A century after, Susan B. Anthony urged us to address the root causes that drive women to abortion, the women's movement was reawakened. Their central goal was equality in the workplace. Two men who founded the National Alliance or National Association to Repeal the Abortion Laws, NARAL, approached the leaders of the emerging women's movement. According to Dr. Bernard Nathanson, co-founder of NARAL, who later became a pro-life advocate, they approached the leaders of the women's movement and said, "If you want to be hired like a man and paid like a man and promoted like a man, well, you can't expect the poor employer to accommodate your pregnancy. Why should it be his burden to take, oh, you're going to take off some time, you're going to need maternity benefits, etc.? So having children is a disruption to the workplace, as if fathers never take time off to take care of their children." Women took to the streets chanting, "It's our body, it's our choice." And you know what? It became our problem. Since then, we have more than 45 million abortions, 25, 30 million, who knows how many women have laid their bodies down and sacrificed their children, not for selfishness, not for inconvenience, but because they felt overwhelmingly that they did not have the resources and support that they needed and deserved. They swallowed a bitter pill. Are you 46? Because they lack the resources and support. We mourn with a generation who knows that a third of their peers are missing, many of them poor siblings. We mourn with men who weren't given a choice. And we mourn with the families of women like Holly Patterson, who died on my birthday, September 17th, while I was celebrating with the woman who gave me life. Holly Patterson was with her parents, dying from RU-46. She died with them. We mourn with their parents. We miss her. What potential could she have had if she lived? And her child. Women deserve better than this. For the last. For the past 12 years, it has been an honor for me to serve as president of Feminists for Life of America and share our rich feminist history in the tradition of Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who wanted us to address these root causes that drive women to abortion. According to Alan Guttmacher Institute, Planned Parenthood's research arm, women have abortions overwhelmingly because of lack of resources and support, and women deserve better. As we continue to uphold the feminist principle of equality, nonviolence, non-discrimination, and justice for all, we will champion the needs of the poor and working women, including prenatal care. We will educate women that it is illegal to be coerced into an abortion because of threats that somebody will withhold child support. Instead, we will encourage fathers to be a part of the lives of the children that they help bring into this world. We will tell women that if those they counted on the most let them down, there are perfect strangers who will help them when they are abandoned. We will hold accountable sex predators who traffic women and children. We will demand justice for those who commit violence against women, including pregnant women. And we will raise our voices against those who would punish mothers for making the choice to have children. We will recognize the needs of pregnant and parenting students and employees. We will fight discrimination in the workplace by encouraging family-friendly solutions. Because you know what? The pro-life movement really does care about people once they're born. That is a myth. And when colleges leave you with little choice or none at all, Feminists for Life will work with you to create a blueprint for progress. We will listen to the needs of women and challenge the status quo. 33 years ago, Sarah Weddington argued in part in front of the Supreme Court that a woman could not complete her education if she were pregnant. Why not? Are we suddenly stupid? Can we not think, write, or read once we're pregnant? Ridiculous. So today, almost one half of abortions are performed on college-age women. And I want you to think of putting yourself in the place of women who have never known a day without legalized abortion, who are pregnant alone, and say, without housing, daycare, and maternity coverage, it doesn't feel like I have much of a free choice. We held our first pregnancy resource forum at Georgetown University in 1997. And Feminists for Life listened to the needs of pregnant and parenting students at that forum. And we came up with a blueprint for progress. And it has been an amazing revolution that has spread as far as Berkeley and Stanford, USD. Within 2 years, Georgetown set aside housing, they had child care, they looked into the way they dealt with health care. Every year they have an annual forum, and they improve the services of to women and children. Yes. Woo! And since we started redirecting a debate and using that energy towards action, there's been a 30% decrease in abortions among college-educated women. Pregnant and parenting students need you to help us help those who are at the highest rate of abortion. The Elizabeth Cady Stanton bill has been introduced into Congress, and I'm encouraging you to go to our website at feministforlife.org and sign up to help be a part of the revolution. Because children aren't the problem, it's lack of housing, daycare, maternity coverage, living wage, a lack of emotional support. Those are the problems, and too long we have settled for less. Today, we take what has become a grim anniversary, and we are going to make it a celebration of life. We refuse to choose between women and children. We refuse to choose between sacrifice. sacrificing our education and our career plans and sacrificing our children. Two-time Emmy winner Patricia Heaton, who is our honorary chair, has said, women who experience an unplanned pregnancy deserve unplanned joy. We envision a better day when womanhood is celebrated, mothers are supported, fathers are honored, and every child is cherished. Today, let us take the first giant step for womankind, saying no to the status quo, take our bodies back, and work towards the day when there are solutions. Not one woman will be driven to abortion. And let us meet those who oppose us and invite them over, roll out a red carpet and invite them to work with us. And we'll meet on the bridge of women-centered solutions, because women deserve better. Thank you very much.